So good morning, everybody. The first talk of this last session will begin with the presentation by Andreas Demetriou from University of Cyprus, and is entitled Processing Efficiency, Representational Capacity, Self-Awareness and Reasoning, Specifying Their Relations in Development. Thank you, Andreas.
Thank you, Pierre. Well, I do thank you very much for inviting me to participate in this meeting. It's a comeback for me in science. For 4 months, I did nothing related to this, so it took me quite a while, you know, to go back and reintegrate the transparencies and my mind itself. So what I'm going to do is to summarize the work that we did mainly in Cyprus. Actually, the work started when I was still at the University of Thessaloniki. But the theoretical work was completed there, the general outline that I will summarize next. But the experimental work that I'm going to present was carried out mainly at the University of Cyprus in the last 10 years or something like that. So these are the main colleagues that have been involved in the experiments that I'm going to summarize. And these experiments in Cyprus were designed to test this general model of the organization and development of the human mind that came out of the work that we did in Thessaloniki between the late 70s and the middle 90s. So the general idea there is that the mind is a three-level enterprise. There is a general common core that defines processing efficiency and representational capacity, that is, how much information you can represent at a particular point in time, and how efficiently you can work to integrate this information in order to make meaning out of it. There is another common underlying core, which I call hypercognitive processes, which involve self-monitoring, self-regulation, and self-representation processes, and a series of domains that are specialized on the representation and processing of different types of information that I will define next. So the common core is defined by three main dimensions: speed of processing, control of processing, and representational capacity as such. And this can be analyzed in more specialized components. I will come to them when I start talking about the experiments. The domains as such, these are the criteria for a system of cognitive processes to qualify for a domain. Domains serve an identifiable special adaptational function, for example, orientation in space, distribution of objects, quantity, and so on. They are responsible for the representation of a particular type of relations between objects. For example, relations between objects in space, or quantitative relations, or categorical relations, or causal relations, or whatever. In fact, the domains, they're just six. It's spatial, quantitative, causal, verbal, social, and drawing. They involve specialized processes, each of the domains, for the processing of the type of relations concerned. For example, mental rotation in the spatial domain, number operations in the numerical, categorical operations in the categorical, and so on. And each is biased to a particular simple system that is appropriate for the better functioning of the domain, such as mental images for the spatial, number notation for the quantitative, and so on. And the hypercognitive system is organized at two levels. It involves, at the basic level, the working level, self-monitoring processes as such, self-regulation processes, self-change processes, and several presentation processes, and it accrues over time so that they give a theory of mind or implicit theories of for intelligence and so on. If I would speak about episodic memory in terms of the Hitch and the Baddeley model, I would say that this is the general idea. We have specialized storage systems such as visual, phonological, or other. The hypercognitive system involves selective attention, control of interference, performance evaluation, and so on. And you have the domains, and these interact. And the efficiency of interaction can be measured, for example, by speed. So this is why speed is so central. So how we can go about designing experiments that will test this general architecture and specify their relations over time? You need to have measures for everything. So you need to have measures for processing, speed of processing as such. I will define it next. Control of processing, in other words, speed under conditions where you need to control interference. And in working memory, you have to be able to test for short-term storage as such and where executive control is needed. You have to have measures of the specialized systems. So you have to give measures for at least two domains in order to be able to get the structure and the relations. So you need to give tasks addressing mathematical reasoning or causal or spatial or categorical or verbal or social. And you need to give self-awareness, self-evaluation, self-regulation tasks that may involve, you know, evaluation of task difficulty, subjective experiences produced by different cognitive tasks. You ask the subject to give indications of these experiences, and you can ask the subjects to compare tasks in reference to the mental processes involved in them. So, in fact, in our lab, we developed quite elaborate examination processes that give us access to these experiences even for as young kids as 3 or 4 years old. In fact, we have an experiment running on now both, well, actually in 3 countries, and I will give some indications of the experiment next. It's an experiment going on in China, in Athens, and in Cyprus, where we compare kids from 3 to 7 on all of these processes and just a presentation. And the tasks that we use, they are developmentally constructed. Originally, Piagetian influence on the construction of the tasks was quite strong. Now it's not that strong, actually. We construct tasks. We define complexity in ways that we can see influences from one's analysis of task complexity, Robbie Case, Halford. So tasks are constructed so as to systematically vary in difficulty. Difficulty is specified in terms of complexity and familiarity, abstractness of relations, for example, in terms of Halford's analysis. Dan Andrews talked about this yesterday. And we are careful to design tasks that are supposedly addressed to equivalent levels of complexity across the different domains, the causal or the quantitative and so on. So now I'm getting into one of the experiments. In this experiment, the main assumption that comes from the general model, the cylinder model that I developed, is that processes pile up in the sense that each symbol process is embedded into the others as you go from the more basic to the more complex levels. So the most simple process that you can measure is speed of processing, where you can recognize, for example, this plain location of an object and just respond to the location. At another level, where you have to compare two objects where the one is bigger than the other, for example, you have speed plus comparison discrimination processes that would enable you to identify which is larger. In perceptual control, you have these two types of processes plus control of interference between perceptual attributes. A classical example is the Stroop paradigm. In conceptual control, you have all of these plus processes enable you to control interference between processes out there and processes and in long-term memory. Working memory involves these, in addition, storage and retrieval processes. Information integration, we have to organize things, these in addition to all of these and integration processes in addition to these. And for example, reasoning tasks, all of these plus inferential processes such, which enable you to decide about the truth or the validity of a conclusion. So this is a speed of processing task. Subjects sit in front of the computer and they are instructed to respond by pushing the right or a left-hand key depending upon the stimulus appears on the left or the right hand, the right side of the line dividing the screen. This is a perceptual discrimination task. They choose which is larger. This is perceptual control tasks. They require to respond to the weak dimension of the stimulus where there is interference from the strongest, the more obvious dimension. And you see that we control actually for the type of information. So there is verbal. The word there is, it means red in Greek. So you see red in red, red in green. You see number digits. Where, for example, the 7 is written, is made up of little 4s, or the 4 made up of little 4s again, a square made up of circles, and so on. So this is conceptual control, where they are asked to choose what is bigger in reality. It's not very well drawn here, so you don't see the difference very well. But what we try to do is to have the a subject that is small in reality to be bigger in the image, in the picture. And we give them working memory tasks. For example, they see arrangements like this, and then they have to choose one which is similar, or to reproduce it in reality. We give them, it's working shorter storage in numbers. We say the numbers and they have to record them back. Verbal. This is a mental rotation task. They have to imagine how the figure on the upper-looking hand would look like if it rotates to the places shown there. And you see that the complexity varies. For example, the first is very easy. The last with the square dot is very difficult to put it at the right place. Isolation of variables tasks. There, what is required is to make the tasks so that their difference in speed is due only to weight, so they have to isolate size and other variables. We give them verbal analogies like this, from easy to complex. And syllogistic reasoning involving modus ponens, modus tollens, undecidable conclusions, and so on. Class inclusion task like this, for example, if you take the two first rows, the question is, it may be, what is more, the flying things or the living things? This is very difficult, actually. It's a class inclusion task that is not solved before 12. Or if you take the two lower rows, it's what is more, the living beings or the flying beings and so on. Raven-like matrices, mathematical reasoning such as this. For example, in the first block, the subject is required to specify what is the operation missing by substituting for the symbols there. Numerical analogies, algebraic reasoning items. Well, when we do structural modeling, what one should expect based on the general model is this kind of three-level structure. Processes such should stand up as different dimensions, as autonomous dimensions or factors. And this is the case. You see speed, control of processing, shorter memory, phonological, visual, executive memory, and in the particular experiment, spatial, factors for spatial, quantitative, verbal reasoning, a second higher level of factors, processing efficiency, it's working memory and reasoning as such, and the third order general factor. So the model does have a psychometric, a clear psychometric structure. And this is a kind of modeling that we developed rather recently because, you know, this kind of hierarchical model doesn't show how the processes are related. But if you regressed, factors the one onto each other, starting from the most simple process, speed, and you regress on that, the factor that stands for perceptual discrimination, and on that, the factor that stands for perceptual control, and then conceptual control, and then working memory, and then information integration, and then reasoning. That is, if you build in the model a hierarchy that respects the original construction of the tasks according to their complexity, you should have a model that fits. If it doesn't fit, then too bad for the model. Well, here you can see two models that fit extremely well. The second one is slightly different from the first. You see that the first is exactly as predicted. Is speed, discrimination, perceptual control, conceptual control, working memory, information integration, and reasoning. The second is speed, perceptual discrimination. Conceptual control comes first, and then perceptual control follows, and then the rest is the same, which means that the two types of control do not come exactly as predicted. But a better model, a more strict model, is this. In this type of modeling, what we do is to take speed as the basic factor and then regress on at each subsequent level the factors of each subsequent level all on speed and the residual of the rest. For example, reasoning, which is the last there, is regressed on speed as such and on the residual variance of discrimination, conceptual control, working memory, and information integration. So you can actually, by this kind of modeling, you can decompose component by component what is involved at each level of the organization of the processes. And for example, if we take reasoning, you see, in fact, here it's a longitudinal study, so we have two waves of measurement. They were kids from 6 to 11. Two waves of measurement separated by 1 year. So you see that about 25% of the variance in reasoning is already accounted for by speed. Another 25% is accounted for by perceptual control. Conceptual control does not have any contribution. Discrimination is less. And information integration, again, and working memory are not so strong. The second row of results comes from running the model after parceling out the effect of age. You see that when you do this manipulation, some relations drop dramatically. And this is especially the case when we see the relation between speed and the other processes, such mainly reasoning. I'm interested in reasoning. You see that it drops from, for example, 0.55 to 16 or 0.45 to 11. But this manipulation does not affect either the relations between reasoning and perceptual control or the relations between working memory and reasoning, between perceptual control and reasoning or working memory and reasoning. And in my mind, this suggests that speed is the main developmental function in as far as change over time is concerned in relation to reasoning. And the other dimensions, working memory and perceptual and control, interference control, are individual differences factor. Yeah, I already mentioned this. Well, this is another running of the same model after dropping non-significant relations. So you see that in as far as reasoning is concerned, the main dimensions that can enable one to make predictions about reasoning is speed and perceptual control, and to some extent working memory. In the fashion that I described before, that speed is the developmental factor for changes in reasoning, and perceptual control and working memory are individual differences factors. This is the longitudinal model. It tells the same story, actually, because we regress the factors of the first testing, of the second testing, on the factors of the first testing. You see that speed is the main factor that predicts the condition of all other factors at the second testing. And, of course, each factor is related to itself, but this is very interesting reasoning. All variance in reasoning at the second testing is explained, but reasoning at the first testing is not involved. So you can decompose completely. You can predict completely how reasoning at the second testing will behave by having information about speed of processing, perceptual control, and working memory. You don't need reasoning as such. These are the developmental functions for speed. You see a kind of plateau between 8 and 10. This is the developmental function for control of processing. This plateau between 8 and 10 is much more clear. Actually, these are the results that came out of Antigone's Mouyis, who is here, PhD, which was very recently completed. These are the developmental functions for working memory, simple storage, executive control in number, and executive control, number symbols and number representation. And these are the developmental functions for deductive and inductive reasoning. So very clear developmental trends. So let's see how they are related. We did rush scaling and saldo scaling for the reasoning items. There were many. We have four basic levels, a very basic level where people do not succeed, and three levels in inductive reasoning. Unidimensional analogical relations where a single transformation must be carried out to solve the problem. Two-dimensional analogical relations where two transformations must be carried out. And multidimensional relations where you generalize and you abstract relations at different levels. Four levels in reasoning, a basic level where there's no success. And three very well distinguishable levels where the basic one is modus ponens kinds of tasks. The second is modus tollens kinds of tasks, where you have to transform premises to reach the conclusion, and then at the highest level you have logical fallacies where you need a sequence of transformations to reach the conclusion. So how they are related, how the developmental levels are related with processing efficiency, that is speed control and working memory. Very clearly related. You see there that these four levels are plotted there against speed, the first one, control, the second one, storage, and executive memory, the fourth one. You see that from first to fourth level, efficiency increases, as indicated by decreasing reaction time in speed tasks and control tasks, and working memory in both of its dimensions, storage and executive control increase. Here is the profile for the different levels. You see, for example, that at first level, the average speed is 0.6, about 0.6 of a second. 1.7 seconds, it's the average control, reaction time in control tasks. The average working memory storage is 3, and when you have executive requirements, it's 2.3. And when we go to the last, you see that speed drops to about half a second. Control close to a bit over a second, and storage gets to 4.5, executive working memory 4.2. So you see that there is a clear relationship between the developmental sequencing of the levels and their requirements in these dimensions. Tells the same story. So is this, I'm going to speak a bit about the China experiment. Actually, we carried out several experiments in China. The first one was published in the Journal Intelligence 3 years ago. And it did cause, among the psychometricians, some discussion. Because what we showed there was that, you know that in the psychometric literature, there is an average difference between Chinese and Caucasian Westerners of about 10 degrees of IQ in favor of the Chinese. In the experiment that we ran at that time, we showed, this experiment was exactly like the experiment that I described before. So we tested Chinese in three systems, quantitative, verbal, and spatial, in all aspects, speed, control processing, working memory, and reasoning in three domains, in these three domains. So we did have measures for speed of processing in the quantitative, the verbal, and the spatial domain. Control, again, working memory. And we compare this Chinese with Greeks. And what we found there was that there was no real difference between Greeks and Chinese whatsoever in the quantitative and the verbal domain, but there was a big difference in the spatial domain throughout the mental hierarchy. That is, difference in speed, difference in working memory, difference in reasoning, in spatial reasoning. So wherever spatial information was involved, Chinese were much more efficient, much better. And this difference was got increasing with age. So at that time, we argued in the paper that it has something to do with learning Chinese, this very complex writing and reading system. Of course, the paper was criticized in the sense that you cannot argue that unless you test Western people that know Chinese, and you show that this difference is there. Of course, it's not easy to find Western people who know Chinese and Chinese who don't know Chinese. We just finished a second experiment where we examined kids from 3 to 7. Because supposedly Chinese at that time, they don't know Chinese writing as well as later. So we tested them in the fashion that I described before. There were speed of processing tasks, reaction times requiring to compare three types of characters, European-like, Arabic, I will show examples. Arabic-like, Chinese-like, working memory, verbal arithmetic and spatial, and reasoning again, verbal arithmetic and spatial. So these are the kind of tasks that they are that they require to respond to. Imagine that each pair is a screen, a computer screen, and the first is Arabic-like, the second is Chinese-like, and the third is European-like, and they are required to indicate whether the stimuli on the screen are similar or not. And so we record the reaction time. The first series, the first row, compares Greeks with Chinese in the verbal domain. Speed in the verbal domain, working memory in the verbal domain, and reasoning. And the last compares them in the spatial domain. You see that in the verbal domain, Greeks are a bit faster, and there's no difference, no significant difference in working memory or in the reasoning domain. But again, the Chinese are much faster in the spatial domain. They have a much higher working memory, and they are significantly better in reasoning. So, no, the difference appears again even from the age of 4. We just finished this experiment. It doesn't give the crucial evidence whether it's because of the writing system or because there is something special in the Chinese brain specializing in processing visual spatial information. And the experiment is not... it doesn't lead one to decide, because actually what we realize in China is that the kids start being trained to produce symbols of this complexity from the first year of preschool education. So the experience may be there from much earlier. It's the same story. Now let me go to the how self-awareness may get involved in the business. So in one of the experiments, we ask the subjects to rate themselves in different processes, such as, for example, the items address all of the processes that I mentioned before, efficiency, memory, and reasoning in the different domains. This is a model where subjects were examined, they were asked to solve quantitative, verbal, spatial reasoning tasks and drawing tasks. They were asked to self-evaluate themselves, self-represent themselves in each of these domains, and they were also tested on processing efficiency and working memory tasks. This is the model. You see, all of the dimensions are there. They are identifiable. There is a general reasoning factor standing for the general inferential processes defining the domain layer of the original model that they presented. There is a general self-representation factor standing for processes such as self-monitoring, self-representation, related to the self-representation factors and, of course, the processing efficiency, and a general factor accounting for the general factors, which in psychometric terms, the G grand there could be the G factor. What is added here which might be of interest to psychometric theory. Actually, this paper is also published in Intelligence a couple of months ago, is that we have to start talking about the general factor and assume that in there, there is something over fluid intelligence, which is the GR, and efficiency processes. There are also sub-representational processes which are equally powerful determinants of G as fluid and efficiency processes. This is another study, very similar to that one, where we have reasoning, the GR, self-evaluation, where the subjects are asked to evaluate how successful their performance is, and also they are asked to give their self-concept about how good they are in general in the domains. This is actually the structural relations between these factors. And I'm showing you these relations in order to stress how nicely self-representation is integrated with reasoning over development. You see in this experiment, subjects were between 11 and 15 years old. You see that, for example, there is no relation whatsoever between reasoning and self-evaluation at 11. It becomes significant at 12. And then it becomes very, very close from 13 through 15. And there is a time lag in the interweaving of these processes when we go to the self-concept and the self-evaluation. They are entirely new until 13, and they become significant in 14 and 15. In fact, we found the same pattern when we did the same experiment from 3 to 10. That is very low at the beginning, and they get increasing until they reach a plateau at the end of the phase. So the implication there, and that's why actually I made some comments at some of the talks of the first day. The idea is that at the beginning of a developmental phase, of a level of a stage, cognitive processes such are not very closely related to self-monitoring, self-representation processes. When mistakes occur, these processes are activated, and they gradually get into the picture and they become causal. And they are integrated, and they cause a change, and then they are reset to zero again to start, and the whole process recycles, I would say, three times. From 2 to 5, from 5 to 10, and from 11 to 15. So, my conclusions. Processing speed is the crucial developmental factor in concern to working memory and thinking. When it changes, the other functions may also change. Working memory is the crucial individual difference factor for intelligence. Differences between individuals within ages or groups in working memory explain their differences in performance on intellectual tasks. And changes in thinking may facilitate the functioning information processing mechanism exerting top-down effects. And when we go to hypercognitive processes, to relations between cognitive processes, processing efficiency, inferential cognitive processes, and self-awareness processes are equipotent constituents of the mind. G is then a constrained, well-mapped, self-aware supercontroller. Domains preserve their relative functional autonomy everywhere in the mind's architecture. And self-awareness is a recycling process that is gradually attained within each developmental phase by binding cognitive with self-monitoring and self-regulation processes. The main route of cognitive development, the mind develops from being perceptually driven and action-bound to self-guidance, reflection, and self-awareness. It moves from fewer and reality reference to more and reciprocally referenced representations. It evolves from global and less integrated to differentiated, but better integrated mental operations. With development, the mind becomes increasingly flexible and able to shift across perspectives. And we can integrate this with intelligent psychometric theory. And we can say that the more mentally efficient, that is, the faster and more focused on goal one is, the more capable, that is, the more information one can hold in mind at a given moment, and the more planful and foresighted one can be, and the more flexible, then the more intelligent one is. What is environment doing? At the same time, social, cultural, and historical influences set the frame in which the cognitive differential and developmental dynamics operate. Powerful cultural systems may shape powerful patterns of mental activity, the China experiment, that cause strong cultural differences in mental performance and development. So what I was trying to do, at least before getting into politics, is an overarching mind that model of the mind that accommodates basic intellectual functions and processes and their organization, their real-time operations as an integrated system, the factors underlying their change and development, the factors underlying intra-individual differences in regard to attainment, operation, and the development of these processes and functions. And we have quite a few very accurate tools for measuring all of these processes and dynamics. All of it is published. I hope that I will be able to publish things after getting in politics. I'm not sure if I will be able to do it. But the lesson that I got from being the Minister of Education in the first last month is that in the academia, we leave huge illusions about how politicians look into our work. We think that we say very serious things and they have to take care of them. We may say serious things, but the way they look into them is very different, even if the minister is a researcher himself. Yesterday, I spent my day at the CERN. I was guided into the collider itself. 9,000 people work on the same experiment. 100,000 processors are there to register the information and process it. Obviously, this kind of research is far away from what physicists are now doing. So I hope that at some point in time, we will be able to have this kind of science. But what is encouraging is that we have some degree of accuracy that physicists, I'm sure, that respect. So thank you very much for your attention.
Thank you, Andreas. Some questions? Nelson?
Very nice, interesting conception. And I wanted to ask about especially processing speed. So if it is that important, it seems to me what we need, though, is a microanalysis to see what processing speed is. So, for example, suppose if you look at, you might have the answer to this, if you look at the entire distribution of the reaction times in younger and older children, suppose you find that the entire distribution shifts, well, then you might think indeed that could represent, faster nerve transmission in the older kids. But on the other hand, suppose the change in reaction time results from the tail in the distribution becoming less with age, then it might be that what's happening is that reaction time, the processing efficiency or speed task is a vigilance task, and the younger kids are getting off tracks every now and then. And so in other words, it seems like a more detailed look, both by looking at across different speed tasks and by looking at the whole distribution and so forth, different kinds of microanalyses might think that it might result in the finding that speed of processing isn't what you assume it is.
I don't know. That's not an interesting idea. I know that it's a problem. The lower you go down in age, the most difficult it is to measure speed. And in fact, in the last experiment, where we started with kids from 3 years of age, more than half of the kids that you see do not give usable data. So I agree that the distribution of performance in speed tasks in lower ages is different from the distribution, let's say, after the age of 5 or 6. And so I really don't know. Because we don't have the technology, and we don't have the good psychological methods that can give accurate speed measures for a whole sample at kids younger than 4 or something like that. And the relationship between speed and cognitive performance below 5 is different. It's very weak, actually. But you don't know if this is due to the fact that cognitive performance on tasks is more accurate than speed, or whether at the beginning, even fast kids have not yet integrated performances for special domains. And so that's why the relation is weak. But it's a good point.
Returning to speed, I wonder whether, and this is a question, whether I am assuming that the speed really means performance, the rate at which, if you like, the speed at which the individual performs well. So it's not just the speed, it's competence which is being assessed.
Right.
And in that case, could one not say that what you call speed, in fact, is the most encompassing appraisal of the performance one can make? And if that is the case, one could, there's an analogy between your factor speed and what Piaget was saying, and other people. But anyhow, Piaget, at some point, when he was in the middle of his career in the 60s and even in the 50s, he was thinking, well, the child develops to a higher and higher intelligence, which sounds a bit Hegelian, but in fact, the man had a point. He was trying to say, well, the process of development is towards greater efficiency.
Yeah.
You used to talk the efficiency before. Now you talk about the speed, but in both cases, if this is the most encompassing measure, what your hierarchy may be saying, and this is a question, I'd like you to react to that, is that the best indicator of the performance level, in fact, is the most encompassing one. There are all these many factors that intervene, and you are highlighting so many of them, that the most encompassing appraisal of the quality of the performance may be the one that actually is expressing better that performance and therefore commands the upper level of the hierarchy.
I agree. Yeah. Well, actually, I take speed to be the best single indicator of the general quality of the brain to represent and process information. And it actually reflects probably how different components of the system integrate to fabricate a response. And other more complex tasks, one level above, for example, working memory, or even higher, working reasoning, are built up on this general quality. And of course, then you have to weave up the processes that are specifically related, for example, for storage and or retrieval. And on top of that, the processes that are required to connect information and draw inferences. And the more complicated the steps become, the more this general efficiency is required to weave the different dimensions. So you already capture, if you give these measures, you already capture at least 25% of the variance. And given that the control of interference is actually an indicator of a self-guiding system, you capture another 25% of the variance by a good measure of control. And then the rest is domain specific and information specific. And that's why, actually, when you stay up to the performance level of cognitive tasks, you are never accurate in predictions. And that's why IQ is so global measure, which, at least in as far as education is concerned, in as far as learning in education is concerned, it should have to be substituted, it's my view. And of course, don't ask me after 5 years if I'm not fired, if I manage to change this kind of approach in education. But what we have to do is to give in everyday educational evaluation a system that would enable the teacher to make decisions about learning possibilities of a kid based on these basic measures rather than on general content measures which are mainly represented in IQ testing. In my view, actually, the reason that eventually, despite 100 years of success, it's not that popular in education, the IQ business, is that the basic processes for learning escape this kind of evaluation. But then you need this technology, which in a sense is easier to use if a teacher is trained from his or her basic education than IQ testing, which requires clinical experience.
Okay, I'll keep it short. Thank you for the very fascinating talk. One more question or clarification, please, on the issue of speed in your model, and that is a more practical question. Maybe you could clarify for me. The basic speed of processing predicts most of your subsequent measures, which one, if any, of those subsequent measures that you mentioned are actually timed measures? So if you do
actually,
they are timed. So say you get 5 minutes to solve X number of Raven's problems, for example, or are they open?
They're
not
open.
Timed. They're all open.
They're open. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you.